let's transition over to the main event. You know, those were all the warm-up,
opening acts.
The opening acts. So let's get right to it. Once again, I want to introduce my sans, meaning that we go way back to 1989.
Yeah.
My brother, my colleague, one of my heroes, a really good guy in the community, and an awesome leader. Please help me welcome Dr. G. Duncan Harris.
All right. Yay. Glad to be here. You know, you're a hero of mine also. And you know, certain stories that we could share are appropriate for this medium. Some are probably not. But yeah, we've known each other since we were 19, young guys. And I'm just so proud of the work that you've done here. And, you know, I'm sitting in your studio now. And you think about us being young.
In front of a live studio audience.
Live studio audience here. Standing room only. And so, but just this idea of how far we've come, still a long way to go, but yeah, man, just so proud of you and just glad to chop it up with you today, talk about what we know about.
Yeah, I mean, it's I'm glad we finally got it on the calendar.
Yeah.
So tell us your story. I know you're CEO of Capital Community College, but maybe share with our listeners how you got there.
Sure.
How you prepared for this, and then tell us some of the great things happening there.
Okay, yeah, cool. You know, I'm a Connecticut guy, so I was born in New Haven, you know, my family has deep roots there. My dad is from Alabama, the Harris. Shout out to the Harris crew, they migrated north like many families in the early 1930s, set up shop in New Haven. My mother is from a small island called Nevis near St. Kitts, and so. So, you know, that's kind of my roots. And I grew up in Bloomfield. So my dad is an educator. Education is a value in the Harris family. He was actually a school teacher and then became a college administrator. So this is the family business.
This is
business.
A legacy. This is DNA.
It's in the DNA. And it's let me give you the story of how I got to higher ed. You know, I went to UConn. I was majoring in business. I thought I wanted to go make a lot of money for other people. I was actually working for Merrill Lynch for a while on a track to become like a broker, and I was working in a back office in Jacksonville. And Merrill Lynch had a program where we were allowed to do community service, right? And so, you know, once a month I would go to a high school and I would work with students on kind of goal setting, you know, kind of dreaming, you know, plans for going to college and things like that. And I just loved it. So I'd go back to the office and I'm working on mutual funds and working with brokers and clients, and it didn't have the same meaning to me. And I was like, all right, well, gee, is this how I want to spend my life? Is this how I want to spend my time? And so, so I decided to change paths. I did a 180. I came back to Connecticut at that time. I was able to get a one-year grant position working at UConn with Dr. Maria Martinez, who's an iconic figure in Connecticut, ran the TRIO office and ushered, you know, hundreds of students through stores. And so Dr. Martinez gave me a one-year gig, you know, working on soft money, as we refer to it, as it relates to a grant. And so I was doing that, counseling, advising students at UConn, right? So I knew about that, and I knew how to make it through stores and do well and excel. So I was doing that. And then an opportunity opened up at Manchester Community College in 1996. Very entry level test administrator. And so I jumped at that opportunity. I worked at Manchester for 22 years.
Wow.
Yeah, man. And so
that's a retirement, right?
Yeah.
There.
You know what? But it, in very distinct roles, right? So I was blessed to not have to leave that organization to have different jobs. So like I said, I started doing testing, went back to grad school, got my master's degree from Central. Shout out to the Blue Devils out there. A master's
Which
degree.
I'd just like to throw in, I'm very excited that my daughter just got accepted. She applied, got accepted, pending her decision to complete a summer program. So I would love to add another member to the Blue Devil family.
A great school, amazing school. So I went to school at night, like many of my students. Finished my master's degree, became a counselor. Then I went back for more education. Theme for today's show, but the value of education. I can't think of a a greater investment to make in oneself than an education. And so I went back to school, finished my doctorate, and then that allowed me to move into administration.
You got a real doctorate.
Yeah, real doctorate.
Because Nancy says I don't have a, fake.
You got a fake, you got
It was bestowed upon me.
Oh, yeah. You didn't have to write a 150-page dissertation like
no,
I did?
No, I had to talk for 20 minutes.
Okay. I will never call you Dr. Peralta, no offense. You got to write a book.
Nancy's with you.
Yay, man.
You're faking the funk.
I wrote a book.
You got to have a review committee. You got to stand in front of people.
It was bestowed upon him.
Yeah, whatever, man. Like, hey.
He stood in front of the full Bridgeport Arena.
Ernie Newton is in the audience while I'm giving the speech.
My God.
And he's going, 1-9.
Hey, he's sending a shout out.
He was trying to tell me to, like, wrap it up.
Is that what it's called? He gave it like the Sandman. Eddie / the Sandman Newton. So,
add some extra zeros on my check. I'll call you doctor.
Hey, man. Hey, man.
Okay. Dr. Peralta.
You got it.
I don't use it. You guys know I don't use it.
Now you are an expert, but I'm still not calling you doctor. But that's anyway, okay. So I finished that, and then I moved into administration. Yeah. So I was actually a dean, which is kind of, for like 10 years there, which was a big deal. And then an opportunity opened up. The president of Capital Community College, who's a mentor of mine, Dr. Wilfredo Nieves, great guy, announced that he's retiring. And then also at the same time, the president of Manchester, Dr. Gina Glickman, was also retiring. They needed somebody who had experience to come to in an interim capacity. And so the head of the system asked me, what I was planning. I guess I was on the short list as it related to people who could step in or had done due diligence to prepare for college presidency. And I asked them, I said, well, what are your plans for Capital? I guess everybody thought I was going to stay
at Manchester.
And I said, well, what are you doing in Hartford? And the president of the system says, is that where you want to go? And I said, yeah. I grew up around there. I feel as comfortable talking to folks in the church as I do in the executive suite.
Because Manchester's a little, it's good. It's just more like suburban.
It's just a suburban school.
Versus Capital. You're in the city.
Yeah, and I grew up around there. Like I said, I grew up, shopping at Salvin's. I actually lived in Hartford for a while. But very close to the community. Capital is one of the most diverse community colleges in New England. We're 38% black. We're 33% Hispanic. Mm-hmm. So we're a minority institution. And so I jumped at that chance, and that was 5 years ago. So I've been driving the bus at Capital.
But that's huge. Go right for the president spot.
Yeah. Well, don't get me wrong. I paid my dues.
Yeah.
Like I said, I'd been an administrator, member of the cabinet for 15 years at Manchester.
You worked closely with the Manchester president.
Yeah, two different presidents, Dr. Jonathan Dalby and Dr.
What did you learn from them?
I learned about leadership writ large, capital L kind of stuff. I learned about being a caring and compassionate leader, servant leader. I believe in, serving, whether that's my faculty, staff, or students. I had a lot of people invest in me, and so that's the way I leave. I got to play it forward. People have teed up opportunities for me, and so I'm very mindful to, tee it up for other people. I always try to keep somebody on my hip, when I'm going somewhere to expose them to things or introduce them to people. So I did learn that about them. The other thing I'll say is I've been on, for your listeners, if you're trying to figure out how to add things to your toolkit, been on a number of boards and with these amazing CEOs out there. And I would just sop it up and look at how they were supporting the community, how they were doing things strategically, how they were facing challenges and things like that. So I got here in part as a result of having these amazing senseis. So we're Black Belt Theater, right? Saturdays on Channel 20. And so, you have this master teacher. And so I've been fortunate to have some master teachers.
The 36 Chambers.
Yay, man. Recognized. High
good
rotation.
Good stuff. So since you've been at Capital, what are some of the programs that you've spearheaded?
Yeah, so as a matter of fact, very timely that I'm here today, and I'll share. We're launching a program where we're serving as the talent hub for Accenture in Hartford, and we have a ribbon cutting tomorrow.
Congrats, man. That's huge.
Thanks. This is a game changer for us and for the students. So we have actually 14 apprentices in the cohort. And what happens is they'll be working for 12 months. A lot of times people say apprentice and you think, all right, well, that's the tool belt, or I'm working with a master electrician or plumber, things like that. But there are apprenticeships in other fields and disciplines. So this one is in business services. And so the apprentices will work for 12 months. They will be paid well. You know, they're going to be paid $53,000, you know, for that period. They had a $3,000 signing bonus in terms of the talent, recognition of their talent. They'll be learning systems like Oracle and Workday and things like that as a part of that, wow. Working on this project. And so it's a game changer. There's a young man, Kion, who's one of my guys. He actually came to the college for another program we had with Morehouse, and he got a shot at this. Like I said, it was highly competitive, and I was like, Kion, you got to jump at that, because that is life changing. You're amassing this experience with this international, you know, Fortune 500 company. That's portable. You know, it's a great company. People stay there. They invest in their people, and so. So that's the, you know, some of the type of work that we're doing. I know that.
And they have embedded, like they have offices, you mentioned, yeah. They have offices in Capital.
Yeah. So we have space on our sixth floor, which is kind of our IT tech space. And so they have two classrooms that we allow them to use. They outfitted those spaces with, all the technology that's required, for the apprentices. And so it's a model partnership, symbiotic. So they're always looking for talent. I think my area of work is providing people with education and the skills they need to secure, a future and employment and things like that, and a career. And so we locked arms together. And so the student is my student, but now it's also the Accenture's employee.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And so that's IT and finance, but you're also doing – you know, manufacturing, yeah, and aerospace. So tell us about the Whitcraft.
Yeah. So shout out to Jackie Gallo and the folks over at Whitcraft. And so, during the pandemic, many of the institutions of higher education received funding to support people that may have been displaced. We had people coming back. There's an immense need for retraining. You know, Hartford was hit hard, because we're heavily reliant on tourism, hospitality, and things like that. And so we knew people would need to come to their community college for training, right, and retraining. So we used some of the federal funding that came out during COVID to launch manufacturing. We used to have a manufacturing program years ago, but when we moved to the current location, we had to jettison that. And so we stood up a manufacturing program. It's a five-week intro to manufacturing. It's kind of like a high-intensity boot camp. Where folks will come in. We partnered with Whitcraft, and in the past, oftentimes higher ed might design a program on their own, but in this case, we said, all right, well, let's start with what the company needs and what a successful employee must be able to do. So Whitcraft came to the table, said, here's what we need them to do day one. Provided us with software. They actually provided trainers. So we have the faculty actually work at Whitcraft. It's a five-week program. The other thing that they did as a great partner is the last 2 weeks of the program are actually taught at Whitcraft on the equipment that these individuals will be using. So there's no gap, right? So I could go straight from this program, and I'm starting work that next Monday because I've already trained. I know the people. I know the workplace culture. And things like that. And so we have a nice, a great kind of template, for working with companies. Once again, it's about our students though, right? And how do we ensure that these credentials that they're coming to us for, will get them what they need as it relates to having a job, and being able to do, support themselves and their families. So it's a different way we're building, and very agile with it. You know, we kind of once again come to the table recognizing how important this work is. And so so that's another example of kind of this entrepreneurial spirit that we developed at Capital.
And your role as president, I saw you were at 93.7 yesterday, hot 93.7.
Yeah.
So are you doing like a little tour of what's happening? Is that part of your job now?
Well, there's a piece of it where when I first started at Capital in 2018, people used to talk about it being the best kept secret,
mm-hmm.
right? And that bothers me, mm-hmm. right? It's like, well, why are we keeping education and opportunity secret? Shouldn't we be like out, you know, exactly. professing and like, hey, come to me. You know, I've got funding. You know, I've got federal dollars and grants and companies that will pay tuition and working with workforce investment boards, all this stuff. And so
a great website, by the way.
And a great website. You know, we focused in on what people needed to come to be able to do on that site, et cetera. Shout out to our designers for all the design. But just this idea like, hey, that's not a point of pride that like mm-hmm. people that your best kept secret. It's almost like
exactly
that's foolish.
That's what you don't want to be.
That's right. What we don't want to be. And I feel one of the best things that I could do is shout it loud and proud about you know, Hartford's Community College and what we're there for and what we do. The other thing I wanted to, which is tied into what we started with, you know, and rest in power to Tyree Nichols and his family.
Yeah.
But we're also working with the city of Hartford right now. So the city of Hartford got a grant to work on, you know, violence, de-escalation in the city. And so Capital, I was on a meeting last week with Thea Montanez and their team, and we're building a curriculum to train individuals that will work in the city to de-escalate, you know, things that may be percolating as it relates that might ultimately end up in violence. And so we're creating a curriculum to help train folks, you know, not that they're in harm's way,
right.
but that they're in a very proactive, preventative way, getting training in how to, you know, de-escalate, you know, situations and work on violence prevention in the city. So that's another example. So the city partnered with us to say, you know, how can we work together to...
So you're forging some amazing partnerships.
We got, yeah, it's about partnership. I mean, you got, you know, time, talent, treasure. But I think there's a part of being a good partner. Like, what does that mean?
Right.
You know, you can't be a jerk.
You've got to be equitable.
You've got to be equitable. You can't be a jerk either. You know what I mean? You got to work together. You come to the table ready to roll your sleeves up.
You can't be
up.
A taker.
Yeah.
Got to be...
Yeah.
Both ways.
Yeah.
Well, how's this whole merger with the it's going to be called? You're going to have like new branding. How's that going to affect?
It's
Capital?
Exciting. It's exciting. And so, like I said, this is my 26th year in higher ed, and I guess at the heart of it is, if you were to build a community college in 2023 in a state the size of Connecticut, what would it be, right? And that's what we've been doing. We've been working on it the last 5 years, like for a really long time. And July 1, it goes live. It will be Connecticut State Community College. That'll make us one of the largest or larger community colleges in the nation.
I've seen some of the swag. It's going to be cool.
It's going to be
Connecticut
neat.
Connecticut State is going to be kind of the short name for it.
Yeah, Connecticut State. And so there'll be campuses. So, you know, Connecticut State, Capital Campus, right? So we're beginning to develop a campus identity. Maybe we'll reach out to, you know, Peralta Design about. But, you know, what does a campus identity look like? You know, we're able to have be resourced in ways in which we wouldn't be on our own.
Kind of like, I think of SUNY. Remember we had like SUNY Purchase,
yep.
We had SUNY Buffalo, like you have SUNY.
Exactly.
Different campuses, but it was all under SUNY.
All under SUNY. And so like what things can you centralize?
Yes.
Or do in an enterprise model? You know, you don't need 12 of everything,
right.
which is what we have been doing for the last 50 years. So once again, at the heart of it is if you were to build like a Vanguard current community college in Connecticut, what would it look like? And that's going to be Connecticut State. Shout out to our first president, Dr. John Maduko, good guy. He's got the wheel. You know, we have the utmost confidence in him. He's circulating around the state. And at the heart of it, too, will be equity. this right. idea of equity-mindedness to right. address some of the equity gaps.
And what about the free college? Because I keep yeah. seeing him talk about that there's money for that.
Yeah, so there's a program, Connecticut's community colleges, we're ranked nationally in terms of kind of the ROI mm-hmm. and some of the outcomes that we have. And so Connecticut is fortunate in that community colleges are free. There's a program called PACT, P-A-C-T. And what that is if a student has graduated from a Connecticut high school or completed a GED in the state and hasn't already gone to another school, you know, they're eligible to come to any one of the community colleges for free, right? And so a lot of times people say, I can't go to college because it's too expensive, right? So that takes that whole thing off the board, right? And I know that if my kids want to go to college, they can come to any one of the community colleges. We have guaranteed transfer. You may have heard we signed an agreement with Morehouse last year. So Morehouse is of course, Martin Luther King went there. You know, it's
he did not pledge there.
He didn't pledge there. He went there.
A common misconception.
Yeah, yeah. And so he's an Onekka brother.
Exactly.
Before Onekka.
He's Onekka, and he was like 15 when he went to Morehouse.
He was 15 years old, and but we have it. But it's an elite
yeah,
institution,
it is.
World
renowned.
It's
so well known. Yeah.
And so now we have an agreement where students can come to any one of the community colleges and transfer to Morehouse.
Like the aside of Howard, it's probably the quintessential
Howard Spelman
HBCU.
Morehouse. Yeah. yeah. Howard Spelman Morehouse, Hampton.
Hampton.
In case of some of the listeners, Florida A&M. But just, you know, this idea of that you could come to us for free.
Yeah.
And a lot of students transfer to other schools. We have guaranteed transfer to Central, WestCon, Southern, and Eastern. So you could spend half the money because you're going to go to your first 2 years for free, but still graduate from any one of those other schools.
Oh,
something
yeah,
to think about for your daughter.
I was going to say that could be a potential game changer. One of those things where
free.
And you don't want to have.
Like,
any...
Why is she deciding where she's
yeah.
going?
Right.
I'm going to decide.
Right. Now let me add a qualifier though, because sometimes people think that things that are free don't have value.
True.
And it's the exact opposite. And that we recognize that higher education and a degree should be a right, not a privilege. Mm. And for quite some time, it was a privilege for only a few.
Yeah.
So what Connecticut has done, and investment in our system, is that we made it right to go to college, right, and get a degree, get into Accenture, get into Whitcraft programs, these other programs that we have. For the residents of the state. We're doing good work.
Amazing.
Good work.
Amazing work. Now, what's an ideal business or type of partner that Capital is looking for, and what's the best way for them to reach you?
Yeah, you know, it's an ideal business. That formula that I mentioned and the way of building programs that meet the needs for the talent pipeline of companies is what we've done. And we're more agile than any other type of institution. I don't think a four-year institution could do what we're doing with a company like an Accenture. We decided to do that at the end of August. And once again, we have a ribbon cutting tomorrow with 14 students that will be Accenture programs for the year. And so what I would suggest is if you're a business that has an employment needs or up training, skill training needs for your company, I'd encourage you to reach out to your local community college. We all have a division of workforce and continuing education where we're able to build custom programs. We have something with Eversource needed more line workers. So once again, during the pandemic, we built an 11-week program with Eversource, and now we're the talent pipeline for their line worker core. We have a program with Travelers and others. And so if you're a business that's looking to address some of your talent pipeline challenges, go to your local community college. And like I said, we could map out, build a specific program so that folks are able to hit the ground running like we did with Whitcraft, Accenture, and others.
Awesome. Well, Duncan, thank you for being here.
Yeah.
Or Dr. G. Duncan Harris, as everybody else calls
Dunky
you.
Dunk.
I called you Dunk.
Yay!
So...
Yeah.
It's good to have you on the show, man. Thank you for being here.
Yeah, appreciate it, and shout out. And once again, I appreciate all you're doing for our community and for our state and for our nation with putting stuff like this out there.
Awesome. Hey, I wanted to mention program that that I'm personally going to help promote that'll help your business. It's the Connecticut Small Business Boost Fund. It's a new resource. It's supported by the Connecticut Department of Economic and Community Development. And it'll give small businesses or business owners access to flexible funding. It's low-interest loans. This is not PPP. These are actual loans that you do pay back. But it's a personal, equitable approach to lending so that you can help grow your business. And small businesses and nonprofits can borrow anywhere between $5,000 and $500,000, depending on eligibility and need. So for more information, visit ctsmallbusinessboostfund.org. Until next time, this is Ramon Peralta with Peralta Design. Thank you for listening to Mission Control, and we launch brands.